6 o'clock, time for our regular meeting of March the 3rd. And we are, before I forget it, the people at Talkeetna said to thank the Radio Free Palmer, Mr. Malefsky, for making it such that they didn't need to drive down here tonight. And I also noticed that we have the Director of the MATSU Offices for the Governor here, Ms. Sarah Heath, so we welcome you. So, Madam Clerk, would you call the roll so we can start rolling?
I will, Mr. Mayor. Jim Sykes.
Here.
Matthew Beck.
Here.
Ronald Arvin may or may not be able to join us. Steve Culligan, are you on the line?
Online.
Thank you. Dan Mayfield.
Can you hear me?
Here.
Barbara Doty.
Here.
Vern Halter. You do have a quorum, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. And we did hear you, Assemblymember Culligan. So, we have the agenda before us. Any changes? Any, Assemblymember Mayfield?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to remove Resolution Serial Number 15-023 from the consent agenda.
Does he have his mic on, Mr. Mayor?
Would you turn your mic on and repeat that, please?
Yes. I'd like to remove Resolution Serial Number 15-023 from the consent agenda.
Okay. Anything else? Is there any objection to the agenda? Seeing and hearing none, we'll move forward. And we'll rise, and I've asked Ms. Helen Woodings to lead us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have the minutes. No minutes. A slot on the agenda is all it is. So, agency reports. I see, let's start with Palmer.
Good evening, Mayor and Assembly members. My name is Joe Hannon, City Manager at Palmer. Just a few quick ones. First, a thank you to the Mayor on behalf of Palmer, and I think all of the Valley for your support of Jay Bear during the hearings up there. I think it went over very well, and we're all very hopeful about the outcome without any cuts to our military. So thank you. Pleased to announce the soft opening this Thursday at 4 p.m. of the Annex. This is the shared space, entrepreneurial space that opened in the previous Borough Records Building or more, whichever you want to call it, on Alaska. But it some really exciting things happening there with the two partners, making an opportunity in a space for young people to be entrepreneurs there. And I look forward to hopefully the borough and other groups, including the city, of supporting events there to support our young people in that area. Also offer you an invitation to attend an opening of NeighborWorks. This is a nonprofit that is moving or expanding their operations from Anchorage. They've been around since 1980, and they provide very significant funding, about $154 million throughout our state in specialized housing, sometimes senior, special needs, things like corrections, reentry. And they have just opened an office on Cobb across the street from the Fred Meyer, and it's a about a 6-hour open house, but there'll be a noon on Friday, a ribbon cutting. So if you get a chance to go over there, I think that they're just a wonderful addition to the borough, and we're very pleased to have them in Palmer. And then the last one is about a week ago, the mayor and three of our council members, myself, went down for the Alaska Municipal League to talk about probably our favorite topic of marijuana. But we also took the opportunity to visit all of our the Valley legislators and to talk to staff down there. And we wholeheartedly supported the borough's efforts in the particularly at Port McKenzie and the rail. And we also, and I see there's something on the agenda tonight, we also join with other boroughs and municipalities in our support of continuing revenue sharing for cities. So that's all I have tonight. If there's any questions. Thank you very much.
I'm glad somebody was listening. I was, I think, the only Valley person in there at J-Bear.
It was not lost on Anchorage and the rest of us that were kind of there with spirit for you, because we do realize, particularly so close to here, that as much as 20% of just Sherrod Elementary are all military. And as one of those veterans that stands there along with your staff, we just appreciated that. So,
what I forgot to tell them, one of my lines was, if you are going to go, be sure to leave all your lieutenant colonels behind, because we need them.
That's a good idea.
Thank you. Wasella.
Bert Caudill, City of Wasilla. Mayor DeVilvis, Assembly members, I've got a couple things here tonight. I also want to thank Mayor DeVilvis for his job last Monday that he did in testifying in front of J-Bear. We did have people there to testify, and I was supposed to be there, but because we had a city council meeting, I couldn't be there, so we had people there to testify in case we were given the opportunity, but they wanted only mayors. So, anyway, but they said you did an excellent job. You represented the whole borough, and thank you. Second, tomorrow night, Wednesday, we have a special city council meeting to award the bid on the new library we're building. Also, to reintroduce more marijuana laws, if anybody is bored and wants to come over. Thursday, we have a special planning commission meeting to deal with MEA power lines, whether they're going to go above ground, below ground, around ground, what they're going to do through the city. Also, we'll have an update at that time from DOT on KGB Road and also the Parks Highway. They're going to let the bids out in April for the Church Road to Pittman Road extension on Parks Highway. And that'll be Thursday night. Saturday at Wasi Wasilla Area Senior Center will be the legislative town hall meeting. That's at 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Last year that was at Wasilla Middle School. We had over 500 people show up. I questioned the location. So if you want to be there, there's going to be eight of the nine Valley delegation there. The only one I know that's not coming that we talked to today was Representative Newman's office. So if you want to get in there, you probably want to get there early, because I got a feeling it's going to be packed. Also, this is just a food for thought. We're doing a resolution supporting J-Bear staffing levels. I don't know if you guys want to address something like that, but we have a resolution going through our city council. And finally, also, we support resolution 15-22 on revenue sharing. And I talked to the state when we were down there, same meetings as Palmer was on AML. So if you guys don't want your revenue sharing, we would take it. So thank you.
Thank you. Is Houston here? School district. Okay, we're going to move along here tonight. Did we have a joint meeting since last time? I don't think so. There's no assembly transportation, any assembly PR. Mr. Assistant Manager, it's your spot.
Mr. Mayor, I have nothing to report tonight. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Assistant Attorney. Wow. Madam Clerk, can you beat that?
No.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, in the red folder is the clerk's report. There are proposed budget meeting dates. They're the bold ones. So the first one would be April 23rd. It's a work session for the manager's budget and overview and departmental budget presentations.
Same as last year, we have it at 10 a.m. I do believe we only had one meeting for that last year, and we were able to get through it through that day. We do have another meeting scheduled for the next day on April 24th, should it be needed for more departmental presentations. And then we have scheduled for public hearing on May 4th in Palmer, May 7th at Central Mat-Su Public Safety Building, and then May 11th and 12th and 13th for deliberations and possible adoptions. Possible adoption, excuse me.
So, any discussion? Assemblymember Beck.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm just taking a quick glance at this. Last year, we were able to go out to, I think we were at Willow. Was that in the, for part of the budget process to go out across the way again this year?
What I'd planned to do for the one for the here in the borough building was to make a teleconference line for people to call in again. We did have, I don't believe we went up north for a budget public hearing last year, did we? Did we? Sorry. I did not schedule that, but should the assembly want to do that, we can definitely do that again. Okay. I will put another date in there. We'll do it. How about...
Do we want another date, or do we want to...
Can we take one of these dates?
Take one of
sure.
these.
Sure. May 4th, I have here in Palmer. May 7th, I have at Central.
Okay. May 4th for Willow.
Well, I was going to say Sutton, but we went to Willow last year, you know.
But the population center is kind of moving the other way, Mr. Sykes.
We will find a location in Willow and get a public hearing scheduled for there. Thank you for reminding me of that.
Okay. Just for your information, okay. April 23rd and 24th, I will be out for my 50-year graduation from college thing, so... But that doesn't need to stop anything.
So does everything else looks good?
No objections?
Not to make you feel bad, but I'll be celebrating my 45th birthday.
Yeah, I figured that'd bring a comment. Is that it, Madam Clerk?
That is it, Mr. Mayor.
That brings us to citizen and other correspondence. And there's no IMs, special orders, there's no persons to be heard. We're ready to head into public hearings. Ordinance 15007.
Mr. Mayor, did we want to move a couple of these together?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
I forgot your directions here. So we're going to move one and three together, Madam Clerk.
It's ordinance serial number 15007, an ordinance creating North Sorrelwood Natural Gas Local Improvement District number 509, approving the improvement plan for the district, authorizing the manager to proceed with the improvement and assessing equally among the properties within the district the costs of the improvement, and ordinance serial number 15009, an ordinance creating West Coghlan Circle Natural Gas Local Improvement District number 557, approving the improvement plan for the district, authorizing the manager to proceed with the improvement, and assessing equally among the properties within the district the cost of the improvement. And Mr. Mayor, these did pass.
Right, that's why we are putting them together. So these are public hearings. If anybody wishes to speak on either one of these, you are free to do so at this time. I see none, so we will close the public hearing and bring it back to, let's let Assemblymember Doty move both of them.
Thank you, Mayor DeVilbiss. So I'd like to move to adopt ordinance serial number 15007, and the second one I believe is 15009, is that correct?
That's right. Okay, they're on the table. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, those pass. That brings us to 15008 and 15010.
Ordinance serial number 15008, an ordinance creating a portion of Waxing Street Natural Gas Local Improvement District number 535, approving the improvement plan for the district, authorizing the manager to proceed with the improvement and assessing equally among the properties within the district the costs of the improvement. And ordinance serial number 15010, an ordinance creating a portion of Don Lake Drive Natural Gas Local Improvement District number 559,
approving the improvement plan for the district, authorizing the manager to proceed with the improvement, and assessing equally among the properties within the district the cost of the improvement. And Mr. Mayor, both of these failed.
Yes. Is there, we'll open a public hearing on these. Does anybody wish to speak? Seeing and hearing none, we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Mayfield. If you would move both of those, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to adopt ordinance serial number 15-008 and 15-010.
Thank you. Does anybody want to speak to these? I guess the question that begs to be answered is how, now that we have non-contiguous LIDs, we can have something that fails this badly. Was that your question?
Really wasn't a question. It was pretty much a statement that both of these failed. So I felt a little disadvantaged even having to move them. But I would speak against both ordinances and call for the vote.
Yeah, Assemblymember Sykes.
Well, you raised the issue that comes to mind. I just would like to know if when people go forward with these partial LIDs, if they are aware that they have an option to do a non-contiguous LID. Does anybody know that? Because it seems like we keep getting the regular LIDs before us when maybe a non-contiguous LID would work.
Mr. Manager, is there staff that could tell us if that's presented at the time these things come together?
No, Mr. Mayor, I don't see anybody. Are you prepared to do that? Okay, please.
Ms. Cheyenne.
Mr. Mayor, Assemblymember Sykes.
Cheyenne, can you pull your mic down, please?
Sure. Actually, the two that failed, the Dawn Lake was a non-contiguous LID. When they come in, they're given the option when they draw their map as to whether or not they want to do a contiguous or a non-contiguous LID at that time.
Thank you. So it's probably sticker shock that caused it to fail?
I would guess so.
Okay. That does run the price up, especially on a non-contiguous. Okay. This is going to have some objection to it, so we'll have to put it on the board, Madam Clerk. You'll be voting no if you go by our code.
Yes. Mr. Mayor, Assemblymember Doty.
Mr. Mayor, just clarify in terms of the vote.
Yes. What's your question?
A no vote is consistent with how the LID vote
went. Yes. Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, and Assemblymember Colligan, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I completely forgot. Assemblymember Colligan.
A no.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It failed unanimously.
So you call that unanimous discontent, I guess. That brings us to Ordinance 15026. Go ahead.
Yes. An ordinance accepting and appropriating $40,000 for a portion of grant funds from the Alaska State Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development 2015 designated legislative grant projects for the Butte Fire Service Area with accompanying resolution 15016, a resolution approving the scope of work and budget for a portion of the Alaska State Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development grants for the Butte Fire Service Area.
Okay, this is a public hearing. Is there anybody here to speak to this? Seeing and hearing none, we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Sykes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to adopt serial ordinance number 15-026 and resolution serial number 15-016.
Thank you. Does anybody want to speak to it? Is there any objection? Hearing none, we will pass by unanimous consent and move to 15027.
An ordinance approving a supplemental appropriation of $11,000 of revenues from public donations to fiscal year 2015 Animal Care and Regulation Division operating budget for medical and disinfectant supplies.
This is a public hearing. Does anybody wish to speak? Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Beck.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to adopt ordinance serial number 15-027.
Thank you. Any discussion? Is there any objection? Thank you. I look forward to the day when we see our taxes paid that way, too. Voluntary donations. We'll move to ordinance 15028.
An ordinance accepting and appropriating additional funds for revision number 2 in the amount of $270,000 for the replacement of up to 17 culverts as part of the Fish Passage Improvements Project, project number 30114, with accompanying resolution 15017, a resolution amending the budget for revision number 2 in the amount of $270,000 for replacement of up to 17 culverts as part of the Fish Passage Improvement Project, project number 30114.
Thank you. This again is a public hearing, and if anybody wants to speak to the more than $250,000 here, please step forward. Seeing none, close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Halter.
On behalf of the Deputy Mayor, Mr. Arvin, I move ordinance serial number 15-028 and resolution serial number 15-017, and this is a great program and project.
Is there any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, that passes. Brings us to ordinance 15029.
An ordinance authorizing the borough to issue area-wide general obligation bonds in one or more series to finance the acquisition, design, construction, major renovation, and renewal of educational capital improvement projects and related capital improvements in the borough, fixing certain details of such bonds and authorizing their sale.
Okay, this is a public hearing. There's nobody signed up. Does anybody wish to speak? Seeing and hearing none, we'll close the public hearing and bring it to back to Assemblymember Halter.
Again, on behalf of the Deputy Mayor Arvin, I move ordinance serial number 15-029.
Thank you. Discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, that passes. Ordinance 15030.
An ordinance authorizing the borough to issue area-wide general obligation bonds in one or more series to finance the construction, additions, improvement, betterments, repair, reconstruction, or acquisition of public roads and facilities related thereto in the borough, together with all necessary equipment and transportation facilities, including improving school access and the acquisition of lands or rights in lands in connection therewith, fixing certain details of such bonds and authorizing their sale.
That's quite a sentence. Is there, this is a public hearing. Please come forward, state your name for the record.
My name is Garvin Bucari. I'm a resident of Wasilla. I support this bond request. I'm particularly concerned, having experienced not receiving school improvement access for the elementary school at Iditarod, the new one proposed, it's a done deal. We have no access monies. And there have been some rather significant things weren't quite right. Originally, four accesses were on our street. We've pruned that down to two. We have one on Wasilla Fishhook for an exit. So I definitely support this, particularly the school access funds. And I would like to address this later in other testimony. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Seeing and hearing none, we will close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Halter.
Thank you. On behalf of the Deputy Mayor, I move ordinance serial number 15-030.
Thank you. Discussion? Objection? Hearing none, that passes. Did I hear somebody? So, we now move to audience participation. This is the point at which anybody can talk about just about anything. So, we first have Mr. Todd Pettit signed up. Please come forward, state your name for the record.
Hi, my name is Todd Pettit. I'm a farmer up on Lazy Mountain. I also sit on a board referred to as the Farmland Trust Board, and I'm also chair and board member of Soil Water Conservation Board in Palmer here, and I'm speaking on the resolution of eminent domain on the Point McKenzie Rail Extension. I would like to speak against the eminent domain on our soils of agricultural importance. I think the borough at this point is setting a precedent at a value of $1,000 a parcel, which is goes against exactly why this state, when it wrote its constitution, that it put in agriculture lands and put covenants on it. I think that it's we should not be making a decision at this point on this. You're setting a precedent. There's a lot of people standing and waiting to benefit off of getting rid of a covenant, such as these agricultural covenants, and putting it in private hands, or for that matter, state hands, or for that matter, the railroad's hands. I believe that this board tonight should look at this a little bit more further. I think it should go towards the Farm Advisory Committee that has been putting together. I don't know if it has been put together at this point, but I think it speaks larger to what can happen in with agricultural lands today here in the valley. And I just think it's a poor judgment at this point to immediately get rid of something that important. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Mr. Bucaria, followed by Eugene.
My name is Garvin Bucaria. I left a message for Assemblyman Steve Culligan, who I believe is in our listening audience, and I apologize for not getting back with him. I've addressed a letter to him on behalf of the Idittaway Park subdivision homeowners relative to the elementary school site, which is directly across from East Carpenter Circle, that is due north. What I'm asking here, and I've consulted with a number of folks to date, have not heard objections, quote unquote, if you can bring it off, great. What we're asking for is a driveway easement for the bus access. The visual you have shows a number three orientation is north, is directly in back of the elementary school site, south to the in the opposite. And to the east, number three is the preferred access. We're requesting that the alternative be selected because it will measurably improve the pathway. It will prevent one opening from the driveway via that route. It will minimize the disturbance to the Hall family and the Ludlums who live immediately opposite or adjacent to that driveway access. And the estimates that I was able to obtain from Mr. Archie Giddings, City of Wasilla Utility Director, was that it would take between an estimated 5,000 square feet of pavement at $2 to $3 a square foot, which would amount to a $10,000 to $15,000 figure. Now, we did not receive any access funds for that school site, and
I understand that the school district has a site acquisition fund, which possibly might provide a source. Other alternatives are possibly the city, possibly, oh, the borough, possibly the residents. So we're requesting support here to at least obtain the driveway access easement, which will require participation of the Borough Land Management Division, I believe. And in doing so, will provide a perhaps best option for the long-term situation of the elementary school versus the Idiotaway Park homeowners, whomever they may be in the future. I'll be dead long before that occurs, I'm sure. We're losing with the paving of East Carpenter Circle, which is anticipated next season, preferably the following. We would like to see, we will expect to see 44 to 47 feet of exposed area. We'll lose our windbreak, and this is a token request, which eventually we can hopefully plant and refurbish that vacant space. Thank you.
Thank you. We next have Eugene.
Yeah, my name is Eugene Haberman. I represent myself. I live in the Mountains Valley. As you know, I follow the public process, Open Meetings Act, and also state law to ensure that at all public meetings you provide a reasonable opportunity to be heard, meaning the public. I'd like to make a comment on resolution serial number 15-023 that's before you tonight. I am concerned that you have these things like resolutions that go before you. There's not an introduction for a resolution so the public can get a clear chance to review. It goes straight to resolution, whereas a public hearing, you post it one meeting for introduction and the later meeting for schedule for public hearing. I'm requesting that you, for something like this, that particularly something like this that involves the public in such a significant way in attending these meetings whenever they are, special and regular, that you postpone this meeting, continue this chance for the public to address it to the body before you vote on it and put this at the next meeting, okay, and treat this more like a ordinance as far as notification, put introduction, and then and let a chance for people to speak on this. And then I do have some questions on this particular matter is when you set up in this cost right here to put this thing together, and I'm not saying it was good or bad, did you give the chance, did you have the public a chance to review the plans for this whole thing and the cost and all that and see exactly what was going to be for us today, you know? And if not, then we're having another situation where you got to give the chance to the public to review this, an idea of what to expect. And I hear the word that this is a test. I see that, an idea, and see how it works and costs. And then you also got to look at what is the cost going to be to, if you like the idea, what's going to cost the public, so to speak, to make the necessary changes for a permanent situation. And then you know I'm going to say something on the website, I'm sure. I still stand firm that you should do a kill switch on the new website and bring back the old. I'm tired of attending meetings where there's no package for the public. It still happens. And I'm also seeing something striking. Resolutions at some of these commissions where they write the resolution there. Even in the packet says whereas, and there's nothing filled in, and they write it there and they vote on it. So it's getting to be pretty insane. Thank you very much, and I'm sure you'll see more written reports from me. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else? There's nobody signed up. So we'll close audience participation. And Madam Clerk, is there anything else on the consent agenda? Assemblymember Sykes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to remove resolution serial number 15021. On the eminent domain issue, that's item D on page 5 of 6 at the top of the page.
Okay, we're pulling item D, resolution 15021. Anything else? Madam Clerk?
Resolution 15018, a resolution supporting and approving the recommendations of the Human Services Transportation Coordination Plan to allow participants to qualify for Federal Transit Administration funding passed through the Alaska State Department of Transportation and Public Facilities Transit Office. Resolution 15019, a resolution amending the scopes of work for fiscal year 2010 through 2012 capital project locker room improvements and refrigeration system repairs, project number 10157, and fiscal year 2015 capital project vented skate sharpener for the Brett Memorial Ice Arena, project number 10157. Resolution 1520, a resolution in support of the selection of the Fishback alignment as the preferred alignment for phase two of Selden Road Extension Project, project number 35411. Resolution 15022, a resolution supporting the governor's proposed budget amount of $57 million into the revenue sharing fund for fiscal year 2016. Resolution 15024, a resolution supporting House Bill 107 regarding the composition and residency requirements of the Board of Regents for the University of Alaska. AM number 15018, awarded bid number 15092B to Diversified Construction Incorporated in the contract amount of $347,214 to design and construct the Crystal Lake Warm Storage Public Safety Building.
Thank you. We will we'll ask our acting deputy director to move those, please.
As deputy to the deputy mayor, I move to approve the consent agenda as read into the record by the clerk.
Thank you. Discussion? Objection? Hearing none, the consent agenda is consented to. Resolution 15021.
A resolution authorizing eminent domain to acquire property interests needed for the Port McKenzie Rail Extension Project.
Assemblymember Mayfield, would you move that, please?
Yes. Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to move resolution serial number 15-021 for approval.
Assemblymember Sykes, you had a question or something.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, I think Mr. Pettit raised some serious questions, and the reason I pulled this from the agenda is it actually is an example of a colliding of two very important interests. We have as our number two capital priority to the state the completion of the rail spur, and the completion of the rail spur cannot take place without having a corridor. The corridor is already in place, and in this particular parcel, it's actually two parcels. The borough owns both of them. They're each, I believe, 160 acres each. I think it takes up something like 40 acres off of each parcel for a total of 80 acres. And so it's kind of a convoluted thing. The borough acquired the parcels from the state, but the covenants, the agricultural covenants, remained with the parcels, state agricultural covenants. And even though the route for the railroad has already been accepted and approved, the only way that we can get this land for the railroad is to sue the state for condemnation to get, and they're willing to go along with it. There just apparently is no administrative process to do it. And so I got a briefing on this today, and I asked what would happen if we turn this down. And the answer was it's going to cause a real bad delay in the finishing of the railroad corridor. I don't know how much of it's going to get funded anyway, but it's kind of that's where it's going to be eventually anyway, it looks like. On the other hand, I was at the ad hoc agricultural meeting the other day where the committee decided to actually make the restore an agricultural advisory committee, and members are being polled who went to the original ad hoc meeting. I don't know what timetable that's going to happen on, but these things are coming our way more frequently all the time. There's more people, there's more projects, and people want to turn ag land into other things. The assurance that I did get for the remaining acreage of the 240 of the 320 acres in question is that it will continue to be ag parcel and continue to be covered by the covenants. In other words, the farmland will go right up to the railroad right away. So I think that I'm going to vote against this, but it is a very serious question because I think both of these things need to happen. And right now, there isn't that option to make a choice on going for the railroad keeping the land. I specifically said, is there any vehicle that we now have to require replacement of the land or monetary compensation for it? And there really isn't. So until we get those kind of regulations in place, it's going to be very hard for the borough to demand them. And that may, if the staff is out there that knows something better than I have, or if I said something wrong here, I'd invite their comment. But it's something that we have to work on, and I think we need to work on it soon because more of these things are coming up, not less.
Assemblymember Sykes, I just want to, my reading of this indicates that this is just about buying the ag rights in the right-of-way, not the ag rights on these larger parcels that were purchased.
Correct. This is the condemnation of agricultural rights where a proposed railroad maintenance yard is going to take place that's the length of two 160-acre parcels across the southern edge of it.
It's more than that. It's for the transit all the way through the district.
Well, that's the pathway. The right-of-way that we're, the condemnation of parcels that we're asking for, to my understanding, is just on two 160-acre parcels and about 40 acres on each of those. So maybe the staff could clarify that.
Mr. Assistant Manager.
Mr. Brad Swartz, would you come forward, please?
Okay. Yeah, if you look through the legislation, it's actually for 10 parcels, 10 farms that it crosses. The two that you're speaking of are included in the 10. Those are the two largest parcels that have and those two are the ones that have the rail reserve on them. But there is the rest of the corridor through the district, which is included in the 10.
And we're on these larger parcels, we're only removing the necessary acreage to accommodate what the rail needs.
Correct.
Okay, just want to be clear on that. Assemblymember Beck.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And just for clarification for everybody's sake as well, I talked with you earlier today, and you indicated that the railroad has worked with the people who farm it to make sure that they'll continue to have access to the farm where the railroad splits the different parcels?
Correct. Yeah, we've also gone out and met with the Point McKenzie Community Council and the Road Service Area Board to make sure that the roads are there for them to get access to the farms.
Assemblymember Sykes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So when I did a little briefing today, I thought that we were only talking about the condemnation proceedings against the state for the two 160-acre parcels, that was the only thing at issue here.
No. Those were the questions that you asked about, was the rail reserve, but this legislation includes the whole corridor through the ag district.
But that's not all. That's not all state agricultural covenant land, is it?
The ag district is covered with a state agricultural covenant.
Okay, thank you.
The entire district is.
All right. I guess I didn't get that. Thank you.
Assemblymember Halter.
What's the width of the corridor?
It's generally about 300 feet.
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Acting Attorney.
John Ashenbrenner, Deputy Borough Attorney. I think the Assembly is under the impression that this condemnation and eminent domain encompasses all the agricultural rights. They've already acquired those, and this is only the covenant restricting it to agricultural rights. So I'm getting a lot of nods, so I guess you understood that, but it was in the discussion, it sounded as if it was broader. So just wanted to make sure everybody understood this is a very narrow, if you look at property rights in the bundle of sticks, This is a covenant. It's just a very narrow one of those bundle of rights.
And it's also a limited acreage. The way I read the packet, it's 10 acres altogether. Assemblymember Beck.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Schwartz, for your report as well. I just wanted to respond to Mr. Pettit as well, publicly, to, and everybody else, to let them know that we have been working to establish an agriculture advisory committee, and this would be the perfect kind of issue for that committee to look at, but we don't have the committee in place yet, but we are putting that in place as quickly as we can. But our impression, my impression is that to delay this particular issue any further would really hurt the project with regards to the progress that's been made so far. Can you concur with that, Mr. Schwartz?
Yeah, that's true. This is just the beginning. Once we get the assembly approval, then it, of course, has to go through. We have to get together with the state AG's office and work through the whole court proceedings, too. And just a quick correction, it's more than 10 acres. Yeah. I mean, the rail reserve alone is more than that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, before we vote, I just... Oh, Assemblymember Mayfield.
I just want to speak in favor of the resolution, and my understanding is that all of the right of way for the entire railway at this point is purchased. We've got all the right of way in place. So, and the area we're talking about basically is segment two, just north of the port, and. Segment two, and I believe segment five, are the next areas to be developed. Failure to approve this resolution would set us back probably a year or two, so I think that's important to keep the project, on a time schedule. An appropriate time schedule, and go ahead and move forward with the eminent domain, so that we can eliminate those covenants and move on. So.
Thank you. Well, I would just like to say that I also would encourage you to support this. This is not coming out of the blue. From the inception of the ag project, it was known that there was going to be a corridor through there. In fact, if you look at the old plats, you will see it didn't end up where it was going to be, but everybody knew we were going to need a corridor through there. So this is, nobody's more of a zealot than I am about protecting ag land, but this is something everybody has look forward to for a long time, so I hope you support it. So let's, there has been objection, so put it on the board.
Assemblymember Colligan.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, it passed unanimously.
Sorry, I thought there was objection. So we are ready for the introductions, or do we?
No, we've got one more resolution, Mr. Mayor, 15023.
Oh, that's right.
Resolution testing a new seating arrangement for the assembly.
So Assemblymember Sykes, would you move that, please?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move resolution serial number 15023.
Discussion.
Well, just a bit of background of why I brought this forward. Even before this building was being contemplated, I knew that there would be a new building someday, and I asked that such an arrangement of high priests above the peasants never be implemented. I was a reporter in Anchorage years ago when the Anchorage Assembly met at Tudor Road, and everybody met on the same surface. It was level. The Assembly members and the administration were at tables, and they had a pretty good conversation. They were just as, there was as much of a political struggle as there is anywhere, but it was a community conversation. And it may have had something to do with the personalities, but when they moved into the Lusac Library building, where it became a well, and you looked way up at the assembly to supplicate yourself before the high priests, I thought the conversation got significantly nastier. And I've done a lot of meeting moderation myself, and I think it's kind of important the way you set things up. And so I thought, we've been here for a while. We've been here a little over a year and a half, and not quite a year and a half, but we've had a chance to see this, and what I'm proposing is nothing high-tech. We do this when we go to meetings at Wasilla and the Central Fire Station. We did this at Willow last year when we took the budget thing on the road. I'm simply talking about putting tables in front of this dais so that we're on the same level as we are with the audience. The other thing that kind of bugs me is this podium here. If somebody is wheelchair accessible or they want to sit down, it's not convenient for them to do the mic. And at least for all of the faults of the horrible old assembly chambers, at least people were on the same level, and anybody that wanted to roll up in a wheelchair and testify could do so. So I'm just asking for a testing period, and then we can decide if we want to come back up here or talk about something that maybe elevates the podium just a little bit to improve the line of sight, but something that puts it in front of this or maybe modifies it. And that's a different discussion. This is just proposing the test. I don't know if it's even going to pass, and if it does pass, where it's going to go, because if we do like it, I would guess that there may be some more permanent idea that we would want to consider. But I just think we ought to give it a fair shot for a couple of months, see how the public likes it, see how we like it, and see if it doesn't change the conversation a little bit. Maybe it won't make any difference, and we'll want to come back up here. But I think it's worth a try. I've seen a lot of other meeting venues. Even the city of Fairbanks has a more level venue. And if you really want to see some place that's the maximum of intimidation, go to the State Courthouse building on 3rd and K, go up to the top floor to the Supreme Court, get off the elevator, turn right, and go way down into the bottom of the theater seating and look up at this huge bench where five people sit with a gigantic state seal above that. And if you think that's not intimidating, think about being one of the lawyers that has to walk up and address that body. So I think that I think we have had a community conversation here for a long time. I'd like to give it another try. And like I said, I don't anticipate much cost in implementing this. It might take a little bit of testing of the microphone system, but that's why it's out there. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Assemblymember Mayfield, you pulled this.
Yes, I did. I truly admire the ideal, the idea of being one with the citizens that we represent is a high ideal. I feel like we are one with the folks, whether we sit up here or not. And the fact that we have this beautiful dais, fully equipped, I think it would really be a bit of a hassle for the clerk staff to be setting up tables specifically for assembly meetings. Setting up the microphones for assembly meetings, testing out whether or not we're going to get feedback from the speakers, setting up our voting buttons, the computer screens, all of that. I just think it's a little bit too much of a hassle when we already have it here. And I don't see that the citizens are going to get a great amount of benefit from that. From our podium here, from our seating here, we can see the entire room. When we're down there, we're going to have difficulty seeing the back of the room. I think one of the other things that comes to mind certainly is safety. Not that I'm afraid of anybody in this room, but it doesn't take anybody other than going to their TV and turning on their news to see that there are potentially some unbalanced folks out there that who might want to do harm to folks who are doing an honest job representing the people. So for those reasons, I do disagree with I would recommend us not passing this particular resolution.
Assemblymember Doty.
Thank you. Through the mayor to Assemblymember Sykes, I appreciate the proposal. And being new, I'm not familiar with the history and have not been to the esteemed locations you've mentioned. Perhaps the issue isn't that the assembly sits high, it's that the public seating is too low, and raising the public seating might be the solution. I do appreciate Eugene Haverman's comment about getting some public input, and I would like us to consider the possibility of not passing this today and giving the public a chance to weigh in on it. I'm not aware that this has been brought up in the past.
Did I hear a motion to postpone to a time certain?
I brought it up as a comment, and
okay.
I'll wait to see what happens.
I'm just trying to help you out. Assemblymember Halter.
I'll weigh into this. This building and this remodel was a remodel. It was an add-on or addition. And I guess we're sitting in the old part of the building, and the floor level is why we're higher. Is that, I've heard that from several people, I guess.
This part is the new building for ADA accessibility to this part of the room. They had to bring it up to the floor, the first floor level of the old building.
So I guess whatever Mr. Wolf was decided. I mean, you know, this, it's a beautiful facility. We got really good office space for the clerks and the lawyers and the addition and I guess all that stuff. I've been in the Supreme Court place several times, you know, and I just like this facility. It's bright. If you were in the old place where we were at, where it's so crowded and people are right on top of each other, we've come a long ways. Now, do I really like being up quite as high as we are? Probably no. You know, maybe we could do something about the podium and things like that, but I don't know. This is this resolution, we should vote on it tonight. Move on.
Assemblymember Sykes, closing remarks.
Sure. There's some merit to thinking about it a little longer, I think, because it's not just a matter of height. It's a matter of how we want to create an atmosphere here. And if we don't ever try it, we don't necessarily know that it might be something better. So, you know, I can't guarantee it. If you try it, you'll like it. But I think it's at least, since it doesn't cost really much of anything to try it, the thing that this room offers on the floor that the other one didn't is that this is a very wide room. And so you have the angles of viewpoint from anybody in the audience to see just about anybody from the assembly. Whereas in that very narrow room in the old assembly chambers, you did not have that opportunity. And so it's just a different situation. And so I'm going to take the suggestion that Assemblymember Doty made and move to postpone to time certain, which would be March 17th.
Okay, so motion to postpone. Is there objection?
Yes.
There's objection. So the motion is to postpone to time certain, March 17th. Put it on the board.
Assemblymember Colligan.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, it passed with Assemblymember Mayfield and Halter opposed.
Okay. We'll talk about it some more on March 17th. That brings us to a good point to take a 10-minute break. If there's no objection, we'll take an at ease. Let's move on. Madam Clerk, do you want to read the unfinished business, please?
The introductions,
I mean,
Mr.
introductions,
Mayor?
I mean.
Introductions for public hearing on March 17th, ordinance serial number 15031 and ordinance 15032.
Mr. Acting Deputy Mayor.
I move to introduce the legislation as read into the record by the clerk and set the public hearings for March 17th, 2015.
Is there any objection? Hearing none. That moves us to the vacancy report. Mr. Halter.
I move to confirm the mayor's recommendations for confirmation as follows. Emergency Medical Services Board, Mindy Bickle. Enhanced 911 Advisory Board, resignation of Elena Anderson. Historical Preservation Commission, James Cole, Karen Bloxham, Mark Murray, for confirmation.
Thank you. Discussion? Objection? Hearing none, thank you. And before we move off of the vacancy report, I would like to give you an opportunity to object if you don't want to see a resolution. I had so many people left over from this marijuana advisory board that I would like to bring a resolution at the next meeting, not nominations or anything like that, but to create alternate positions so there's backups for a lot of them. So, if you don't want to see any more stacked up there, let me know. Otherwise, I'd like to bring a resolution so you can create that opportunity. So, we move on to ordinance 15033.
This is for referral to the Planning Commission and ordinance amending MSB 1719045 Sheep Mountain Subdistrict to allow for a 3-acre lots in cases where a water body easement or roadway splits an existing parcel.
Thank you. Assemblymember Sykes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to refer ordinance serial number 15033 to Planning Commission for 90 days, and I do have a point of procedure on that.
Okay.
Planning Commission has 90 days to act on it. They don't have to keep it for 90 days. Is that correct? So up to 90 days. Okay.
That's the maximum.
Okay. Thank you.
And does that come to us then?
Yes, it should. I believe the only, my understanding with this is that, it's gone through exhaustive community council review, and just about everybody that lives there has signed in favor of it. And the only reason it really came up was this sub-district from the community plan. The Sheep Mountain sub-district had a minimum lot size of 5 acres, but there was actually somebody that had a water course running through it, or no, it's his property is on both sides of the highway. And so he only like had 3 acres, and he didn't really care about the smaller parcel on the other highway. And so this mainly accommodates the fact that he ended up with a smaller than 5-acre parcel. And so far, everybody's approved of it, and I just hope that the Planning Commission gives it a speedy review.
Thank you. Because I'm just curious why it didn't go straight to the Planning Commission. Okay. So, is there any discussion? Any further, any objection? Hearing none. That brings us to comments. Mr. Hayes, you had no comments earlier. You changed your mind?
Still none, Mr. Mayor. Thank
okay.
you.
Mr. Ashenbrenner. Madam Clerk.
Mr. Mayor and members of the Assembly, no matter if the resolution in reference to whether the Assembly stays up on the dais or on the floor, just so the members know, we are looking for a new podium for people to stand up and for people in wheelchairs, so we are still going to be looking for that.
Might put a hydraulic cylinder under it so they can get up above us and look down.
I have seen podiums that adjust with rails.
Okay. So that brings us to, we'll start with Assemblymember Sykes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, after hearing the clerk's comments, I've already got a partial victory, whether we vote the seating arrangement up or down. This is good. I'm on a roll here. I just wanted to thank the Assembly for a good and fast and productive meeting. I provided the assembly members a handout on the cost of community services, and while I thought our meeting was okay the other day, when we went to set priorities, we kind of, in my view, kind of did a multiple choice quiz about stuff that primarily existed before and kind of maybe rearranged a few things, but I don't feel like we got to a point where we really sat down and said, this is what we really need, and this is what we really want, and we're going to figure out how to fund these. And fair enough, that's good for the budget discussion. But what I really feel very strongly about is that we are being asked to come up with a budget. Federal government's downsizing their budget, state's doing theirs, and by golly, it's going to hit us too. We've already reduced our own income stream by $7 million by either public vote or assembly vote combination. We have the opportunity to get less than what we were expecting before. And so I think we have to have a realistic view of where we are, where we've been, and where we might go. And I would request the manager to produce a cost of community services analysis for us, because I think it'll do a number of things. What it does is it kind of identifies the areas that are either farmland or commercial or residential, these types of things, and how much money they produce for revenue for the borough and how much it costs us. And in general terms, almost anything residential costs more than it returns. A lot of times, open land and commercial property returns more than it costs. But I think we have to have an idea, because we've got a number of things coming up to face us. We understand that there's some differences between the core area and districts like mine that don't have a lot of development and are very rural in nature. And there are ways to develop rules that are more appropriate for the different kinds of areas. We are going to be facing, we're going to have to revise some of our ideas about transportation and drainage and floodplain stuff that's gonna really impact how we choose to develop, and so we need to think about these things. We also need to think about where we're going to get the money to pay for them. We already know that we don't have enough money to maintain the roads we've got, much less anything that we build. And so I want the assembly to have all of the information that we can possibly have so that we can make reasoned decisions on where we're going, because it's not, we do have to have a, we are legally responsible to have a budget this year, but because we are, do have grants that are going to be expiring, and we have about a third of our budget that's based on grants, which we don't control. Now, for the next few years, we're probably sitting okay, just due to the fact we've already got income streams for major projects, but these aren't going to last forever. And I know the mayor expressed the idea that he likes to see the line going down about how much taxpayers pay, but we don't have control of the rest of the budget. And I think we have to take a real sobering and more detailed look than we've had since I've been here in a year and a half. But anyway, I've been following the borough. And in the good times, you can pretty much say, well, it worked pretty good last year, but so pretty much the same thing will work this year. I don't think we're in that position this year. And I think that we have to go further. So I'm asking the manager to conduct a cost of community services study. I don't really care if it is done by the staff, but it's going to take some dedicated staff, or if we contract out, and I've heard rumors that something like this may cost $10,000 to $15,000, but it could be done in a month. And with our schedule of budget meetings coming up, starting on the 24th of April, as I recall, I would like to have this report by the 17th. And if we want to discuss it a little further, that's fine. I'll make it a motion. But I think this not only identifies where we spend our money and how we get our income, but we have to understand it as we go forward with so many of these initiatives that are both opportunities and potential problems that are before us. So I would just ask for that. And I did have a conversation with the mayor about this, not the mayor, I do talk to the mayor, but I talked to the manager about this. I agree with his approach. He wants us to not dribble out little pieces of financial information, kind of like what happened last year, but to have everything available. And so I invite the other assembly members who may have a better financial background than I do to propose what pieces of information that you think we should consider so that we do have everything in one place at one time by the 17th of April. That'll give us a week to consider it before we start dealing with the budget. So thank you very much. I hope that you go along with this. And if it needs a motion to do this, I'll be happy to make that motion.
But I would, since there's a dollar figure on this, I was going to request a resolution, but that's going to eat up a lot of time. So I'll take it as a motion.
Okay, because, you know, we do resolutions real quick. I can get that in the next meeting without any public notice, right?
Well, if you would do that, that would give us more time to flesh it out.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
I can do that. But that'll shorten the timeline, you understand, if I bring this back for the 17th.
Right, right. But we'll all know what we're talking about.
Okay.
I just have one question.
Go ahead.
What, in a short, concise sentence, what exactly do you want to... What is this report supposed to provide?
It's an analysis of how much each area costs the borough and how much it produces for the borough. All areas. You know, you've got neighborhoods, you've got cities, you've got commercial districts, you've got residential districts, and you've got land production, farmland. And so it takes a look at each of those and creates a ratio based on how much they produce and how much it costs. That helps us as we not only figure out how much of the budget incoming and outgoing it has, but where money comes from and where it needs to be spent. It's a useful tool in taking a look at who you are, and it puts the financial number on it. It's not the end all. It doesn't answer all of your questions, but it gives a good indication of what lands do what and how much it costs.
And there is a handout in our red packets. Okay, we'll look forward to that. Assemblymember Doty.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, again, thank you for an efficient and well-run meeting. I'm continuing to do my orientation process, and I had the pleasure of going on a road service area ride today to kind of get a better feel for what's going on with our road maintenance and management, and found that very appreciative. I agree with Assemblymember Sykes that we really need to think very clearly about issues about floodplains and drainage. Especially when it comes to the cost of maintenance of roads when things are not designed properly and may have benefited the developer initially, but the borough ends up with the results of maintaining those roads that could have been designed in a perhaps better way that may have cost a little bit more up front. So I was appreciative of that opportunity. I also want to thank the Assembly for consideration on the Resolution 15024 that I brought forward, looking at supporting equal representation on the Board of Regents of the University of Alaska educational system. This was brought to my attention in my research looking at a university med district, and that's a critical factor when you look at the university affiliation with our community. And also that it was also Representative Lynn Gaddis and her staff suggested that perhaps a borough resolution would be helpful to move that forward. So thank you very much for that support.
Assemblymember Mayfield.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I actually have no comments this evening other than to thank the group for sticking with us, and I hope you all have a great evening.
Thank you. Assemblymember Beck.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to thank the 12 people here in the audience. I wish there was about 10 times the amount of people, but thank you for being here and your input. Thank the staff of the borough for your ongoing work and your commitment to the citizens that live in this area and serving them. And specifically, just like to shout out to the Palmer Fire Department and the Central Rescue Unit that helped respond to an emergency that I was a part of this last Friday. It was a quick response time that Mr. Mayfield would be happy to hear about. and they were very professional, and luckily the person that they were helping is doing well today. That's it. Thank you.
Assemblymember Halter.
Mr. Culligan online too yet, so I want to thank Mr. Brown for that Crystal Lakes action memo tonight. We're going to hopefully get some construction up there. As everybody knows, there's a little disgruntlement up in Willow right now, so maybe that'll be the step in the right direction, I'm hoping. I'm also going to bring some legislation to try to buy this other building for the Nancy Lake, because we have $600,000. It's a very reasonable, good deal to buy this location and building, so I'm going to have some legislation coming down, and maybe that'll be another step in the right direction, and then we'll have to deal with the mill rate and try to get everybody back in sync. I did go to the Waco meeting last night, and there was a lot of people there. I didn't make the public the meeting in Willow. I was gone, but I could understand that one. And so there's a little bit of friction up there, and I hope we can move beyond that. And I hope the assembly could help move us towards a direction that fire service area will help everybody up there and just get it going again and things like that. I want to congratulate the junior Didrod Mushers, who had to leave the valley, unfortunately. Normally it goes from Kinnick out to Yetner and beyond and back to Willow, and of course the trails aren't very good, so they went up to Cantwell and raced into Alpine Creek Lodge, 65 miles. I think there was 11 or 12 of them. They're just wonderful students and young adults, 13 to 18. I think there were 7 girls in there. Kevin Harper did win the race. Jimmy Lanier was second. And it's just really fun to see how much fun it is for the family. So the Didrod, of course, everybody knows, is going north. Unfortunately, we just can't. I was raining when I left Willow today to come down here. I had my windshield wipers on, so it's an amazing winter. Kind of takes the fun out of things. And so hopefully we'll maybe have a winter next year. But I think it will be a good Didrod. I would love to be, I'm 65, I'd love to be in the Didrod this year, just so I could go to Hoosa and take my 24-hour break. I probably wouldn't even leave, stay there. Anyway, that's all I have.
Thank you, and thank you for filling in on the deputy mayor's stuff tonight. Assemblymember Culligan.
Yeah, thank you. I just a couple of brief comments. I forgot to chime in earlier. The Borough Fish and Game Advisory Board has been working hard on a new fish document that will be in our packet here to take a look at, and for our public relations staff to start publishing, and they've been working very hard on that. I did want to shout out to the manager's office, and especially Patty Sullivan and Stephen Hinman, for all of their hard work in getting information out and keeping the public very well informed and doing just such an excellent job for us. And I think we're going to need more of that as we move forward through the budget year and the like, but I didn't want the meeting to go on tonight without recognizing them. Thank you.
Thank you. Assemblymember Sykes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I know I already had my chance, but I did want to thank people for approving the resolution on community revenue sharing. You may remember we rejected it last time, and I just simply rewrote it with the governor's budget number, which I thought was realistic. We've been using that budget revenue sharing to reduce property taxes across the borough for about a half a mil. That's worth about 400,000. It's 400. Anyway, it's a half a mil is what it is. So it's useful, and I also, in the informational memorandum, I attached about 3 pages of what it means to the 20 communities that also get direct community grants from that same pot of money, and it is very important, and I think we're in line in supporting it with the other boroughs and cities, and I do appreciate that because it's an important program.
Okay. I've got a question for the attorney, and I'm sorry I'm blindsiding you on this. I should have mentioned it earlier this afternoon, but I see that the Ketchikan versus state stay was denied, but I learned at the same time that the state had co-applied to the Supreme Court. So are we still in a standby mode relative to the stay? Your mic.
Through the mayor and the assembly. I read the article. I don't know the answer to the question if what exactly the procedural posture is, other than the stay being denied at the trial court, because when I read the article, I took it to mean that the state was going to move for a stay with the Supreme Court on their appeal. So it sounds like it's not over yet with regard to the request for the stay, but I didn't, you know, get the decision from the trial court or talk to Mr. Scott Brandt Erickson from Ketchikan and so forth. So my knowledge is really reading the article. I haven't looked into that. Mr. Spiropoulos, I know, was keeping much more abreast of that litigation, and I apologize for not having that more information on that.
Yeah, well, we're obviously equally informed on that, Mr. Halter.
The way I read that basically same article was that Ketchikan wanted that. They didn't want to stay because they didn't want to put a bunch of money forward that they thought they'd never get back, and I think they won that side of the issue. So that was my take on it.
But the state still, the state appealed, right?
It's an appeal, but I think it's right back there.
Okay. The only other issue, last night I was up at Talkeetna Community Council. Turned out for over 6 months that community council had not been on my calendar, and I started wondering why in the world I was never getting to Talkeetna. So we got that fit. Okay. So I was up there. It was a much more congenial meeting than the one at Willow. I didn't get to wake. Okay, you went to Willow. Okay. Well, I will say that I've asked the fire emergency services to give us a report on what the total cost of building out this ISO strategic plan over a population base and a tax base there is going to look like. I think there's some reality there that the fire service board is looking at and reluctant about that we all need to be aware of. So I hope by the 17th that we'll have all that to look at, because there's got to be some point when you're moving out into the hinterland where it's not appropriate anymore to have a fire station every 5 miles. Yeah, I don't know if we've gone past that point or not, but I'm trying to get to that answer. Mr. Halter?
I'd like to comment on that. I'd certainly like to be within 5 miles of a fire station, because your ISO rating would be down, my fire insurance would be down. Westlake's, you know, has went from a 10 down to a 4, and so their insurance premiums have just went completely way down, and we're not in the hinterlands, you know. We're in Willow, which is a growth area, and the plan has already been set forward, like where these stations are gonna be, and the money, we already have the money for Crystal Lakes from the state that's gonna be used to build right now. And the $600,000 is sitting in the bank, and the Nancy Lake Homeowners Association with around the lake, the huge amounts of property values there are just besides themselves, kind of wondering why they get left out in the cold. And so.
Well, we'll see those numbers. Yeah. But when I saw that there was less than 3,000 people, some question marks started jumping up in my mind.
Well, I grew up in a farm town of 1,800 people, and it's 1,820 people now, 40 years later. You know, but they've got good fire service and good things like that. So, you know, that's just the way it is.
Okay, I'm just letting you know what I've asked for. So, if there's no further objection or comments, we will adjourn.